Today's shiur is Masechet Ksuvos Daf Mem Hei, and we will begin on Mem Dalet Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Tana Shila. Shila taught us the following braisa, and we continue learning the halachas of a Maitzi Shemra and a girl who had relations as a Nara Hamarasa. Teaches us the braisa. Shalosh Midas Benara. There are three situations regarding a Nara Hamarasa. One is Bola Edim Bebeis Chomeho. The girl is already married. And Edim come and say, Shazinsa Bebeis Aviyah, that while she was a Nara Hamarasa, she had an adulterous relationship. So the Allah is Saikon Isaiah Pesach Beis Aviyah. She's Mechuyiv Skila. The Skila is administered at the entrance of a parent's home. Klaimer is saying, Ru gedulim shegedaltim. This is who you raised. The Mefarshim point out, Rashi says this, it's only because she's already married and she's already in her in-law's home do we do the skila at Pesach Beis Aviyah to tell the world that this nus happened when she was in a parent's home, not when she was in her in-law's home. And in fact, the Pnei Yeshua makes an interesting observation. We've been learning and will continue to learn, the Pasuk in the Torah says, that this girl receives skila, a Pesach Beis Aviyah. And as we said, the reason is, because Ru Gedulim Shegedaltem, saying this is a product of her chinuch. But ask the Pnei Yeshua, why specifically does the Gemara only say it in this case, of Ru Gedulim Shegedaltem? We had this halacha so many times, and the only time the Gemara gives this reason is here. Says the Pnei Yeshua, because the Gemara is trying to point out, this halacha of Pesach Beis Aviyah is not a halacha that we always apply. It's only in this specific situation where we want to distinguish her parents' home from her in-law's home, does the Gemara say, because we want to show what is the product of a chinuch. Continues the Braisa, Bala Edim Beis Aviyah. While she's still in her parents' home, she's a Nara Marasa, there are Edim that come and say she's Zinsa Vesavia, that she had this relationship. Then the halacha is she's still Chayiv Skila, but the Skila is administered Soiklan Yisrael Pesach Shari'ir, the Skila is done at the entrance of the city. Ask the Shita the obvious question. The Braisa is out of sequence. First, the Braisa should have spoken about a case of the Znus taking place in Beis Aviyah, which comes earlier than the Znus taking place in Beis Chamel. The Brice is just the opposite of order. Says the Shita, that the Brice is following the order of the Psukim. The Pasuk that says Skila takes place at Pesach Beis Aviyah precedes the Pasuk that says that Skila takes place at the Shar Ha'ir. So the Brice is following the order of the Psukim in the Torah. And the third case that Shila refers to is Sarchul B'Soif Bagra, that by the time the Edom came to say that she had this relationship as a Nara Marasa, she was already of a Geris, the Vera Haloch is Tidon B'Chenek, she's Mechuyif Chenek. Even though, as we've been learning, a Nara Marasa Misa Skila, here, by the time they came and said testimony, by the time this case began, she was already of a Geris. Abageris is not Mechuyiv Skila. Abageris is Mechuyiv Chenek, and that's why this girl receives Chenek. Ask the Mefarshim the obvious question. We know that no one can be Mechuyiv Misa unless they received Hasra. So obviously, this girl who did the Aveira as a Nara Marasa received the Hasra that you're going to get Skila. So now, we're going to give her Chenek, but that wasn't the Hasra that she got. So I saw a number of turutzim to this question. One turut says that this Gemara is going according to the man Omer, that Asra Sofik Shema Asra. The Asra doesn't have to be exact. And therefore the Edom gave her Asra, you may get Skila, or you may get Chenek. It depends when the Dintara will be, and that's why, even though it's not a precise Hasra, it's still considered a valid Asra. Which is a Chiddush, because we usually hold Hasra Sofik Lo Shema Asra. So I saw two other answers. One answer is, going back to a concept we learned earlier in our Masechta, the Musra L'Dava Chomer have a Musra L'Dava Kal. So since she got Hasra for Skila, and we know that Skila is the most severe type of Misa, the Asrah for Chenek is already incorporated in that Asrah. And a third type that I saw is that Asrah that Adam give if somebody does an Aveira doesn't have to mention the type of Misa the person will receive for violating. It has to say that if you do this Aveira, you're going to be Mechuyev Misa, but they don't have to specify what type of Misa. And that's what happened here. The Adam saw her doing this act, and they told her, you should know that this is an act that's punishable by death. An important word of introduction as we get into the sugya. We just quoted and tried to understand the brisa that Shila taught us. Says Taisus that throughout Shas we have the brises that Rav Chiya and Rav Oishya teach us. Those brises are considered authoritative. Brises that we find taught by other Tanoim, Amoraim, are not necessarily considered as authoritative. And therefore, if we have a brisa taught by someone, not Rav Chiya and Rav Oishya, and then we have other brises that were taught by Rav Chiya and Rav Oishya, and therefore considered authoritative and authentic, contradicting, we have to be concerned that that brisa is not authentic. And therefore, if the brisa that Shila just taught us doesn't stand up to scrutiny versus other brises that we have, we're going to have to be concerned that we should accept the brisa. And that's exactly where we're going to go to, because obviously, if we don't say this word of introduction, all of you are going to have an obvious question. The Gemara is going to be quoting brises that disagree with this brisa. So the obvious question is, Sheila is quoting a brisa. One brisa is allowed to disagree with another brisa. So what's the big deal? The answer is that given that this brisa wasn't taught by Rav Chiya Rav Oishya, if it doesn't stand up to that questioning, we're going to have to be concerned that the brisa is not correct. And actually, at the end of the sugya, we will indeed see that the brisa that Sheila taught us has to be somewhat amended. So what is Sheila teaching us in the last halacha? To call it Hechad Ishtane Gufa, that since this girl, when the entire begins, is already a begeris, that's why Ishtana Ketala, she doesn't receive the skila that she would have received as a Nara Marasa. Rather, she receives the skila of the Rechenik of a begeris. Ask the Gemara Verminu. The Brisa says the following, Nara Marasa, Shizinsa. We have a situation of a Nara Marasa that had this relationship, Umashibagra, and only after she becomes a begeris, Hoitzela Shemra, that's when the husband comes and says that my wife didn't have Besulim, and my wife had this relationship as a Nara Marasa. The halacha is, who ain't a loika? The halachas of Maitre Shemra don't apply. He doesn't get Malkus. Ain't a Maitre Meyasela. The Knas of Meyasela doesn't apply. He was of Mameha. Furthermore, says the Brisa, she and the people who he brought as false witnesses to say that she did do this Aveira, Magdimin LeBeis HaSkila, go to the Beis HaSkila. And Rashi right away points out, what's the Lashon Magdimim? They go to the Beis HaSkila. So Rashi says that generally, they go right away to the Beis HaSkila, and we give her that Misa, there's no way of them escaping that Misa. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos quotes another pshat, that normally the halach is that we try to find schus for somebody who's mechuyev misa. For Edom Zomim, we don't look for schus. Right away, we give them the skila. Another pshat that I saw, Taisus quotes, is as follows. Normally, the halacha is, we're supposed to administer the misa, the Torah says. Vasisim loikash zomim lasis lochiv. So if they want to make her be mechuyev skila, they'll be mechuyev skila. What would be if, for whatever technical reason, we can't give skila? So magdimim, giving skila is only magdimim, it's only preferable. But if we can't administer skila, kill them anyway, with a different type of misa. But here we see clearly that they go to the base of skila. So the question, first of all, is, if they both can't be mechuyev misa, if they're the ones that lied, so they're mechuyev misa, and she's innocent. If they said the truth, and she's not innocent, then she's mechuyev misa, not them. How can we have a situation that both of them are mechuyev misa? He was a memer sal kedaitach, ela or he is a memer magdimim. Says the Gemara, you have to change what the brisa means. Either she's guilty and she's mechuyev misa, or they're guilty and they're mechuyev misa. Although I did see the mefarshim ask a very interesting question. They said, we could have a case that both she and the zomim are mechuyev misa. The Zayinim come and say that she had this adulterous relationship. Then they're proven to be false Edom. Edom Zayinim. Mechuyiv Misa. That's Reuven and Shimon. Now Levi and Yehuda, who are honest people, come and say that she had this adulterous relationship. So that Edom Zayinim are Mechuyiv Misa, and she's Mechuyiv Misa. So it's possible to have both. So the Mefarshim answer very interesting teretz. And it goes back to something we said a minute ago. The halach is that Beis Din doesn't give Misa to two different Averis in one day. We said a minute ago that the Edom Zomrim get Misa first thing in the morning. So this woman can't get Misa anymore today. Because Beis Din already administered Misa this day to Edom Zomrim. So they can't have Edom Zomrim and her receiving Misa on the same day. There's also interesting shaila. We know that if the woman is mechuyev skila, the bayil, the man who had this adulterous relationship with her, is also mechuyev skila. Ask the machlokes achrayim, what would be according to Shilai, who says that if the dintara only commenced after she became a bogeris, then her misa is no longer skila, her misa is chenek, what would be the misa of the bayil? Will the misa of the bayil also change to chenek, or will the misa of the bayil remain skila? Machlokes achrayim. But what do we see from here? That even though she became a bogeris, it doesn't change that she's mechuyev skila. So we have a question on Shilai. Shilai said that as soon as she becomes a bogeris, it's no longer skila, it's chenek. This brisa clearly says that it changes to skila. Amar Rava says, Rava, your question is not a good question. Moitzi Shemra, comrade, you're asking a question from Moitzi Shemra to the situation of Shilai, and let's identify what is the difference. The case of Moitzi Shemra is a case where the husband initiates this claim against his wife. Of course, he has to bring Edom to back himself up, but he's the one that initiated this claim. The case of Shilai, the husband's not saying anything. It's Edom that are coming and saying that she did this Aveira. So it's very different. Says Rav, you can't bring a raya, or you can't ask a kasha from Moitzi Shemra to other situation. Because Shemini Moitzi Shemra the chiddushu. Moitzi Shemra is a chiddush of the Torah. What's the chiddush? Because normally, nichnasav l'chuppah v'loi nivela ba'alma, a girl, once she has chuppah, the zinsa, if she's mezana, the halacha is, she's chayev chenek. V'ilu Moitzi Shemra, if a man claims that his wife had a relationship as an arusa, even though it's already after the chuppah, the halacha she's skila. So you see that by Moitzi Shemra, this is the way Rashi, most Rishonim explained the Gemara, even though her status changed, she's already nichnasa l'chuppah, still the old din of skila remains. But that's a unique characteristic of Moitzi Shemra that cannot be extrapolated to other areas of halacha, where Shilai is discussing, where it's simply a situation that Edom came, not a situation of Moitzi Shemra. So the Mefarshim Rekiv Eger speaks about this, ask a simple question. The Gemara is saying that if somebody was Moitzi Shemra, after she was there was a chuppah, so her status changed because she had a chuppah, so still the din of skila applies, and that's what makes Moitzi Shemra unique. Ask Rav Kivega, you know perhaps why that's the halacha? Because it could be the whole chuppah is a meaningless chuppah. Because he's marrying her, he's taking her into chuppah on the assumption that she's a psula, and now when she isn't a psula, she had this maisa's nus, so the whole chuppah is meaningless. And that's why the halacha is this way. Not because that she had a chuppah and there's a chiddush about Moitzi Shemra that the chuppah doesn't change anything. It's because the chuppah is not a chuppah. So the Mefarshim discussed this at great length. Some Mefarshim say that a chuppah we cannot say a mekach tos on. What's the concept? We want to say that the chuppah was done in error. There's no concept of mekach tos on a chuppah. Why? Because the concept of a mekach tos is based on tanai. That in every transaction that I enter, there's an implicit condition that I'm getting what I bargained for, and if it's not what I bargained for, the deal is off. The halacha is that a tanai is only effective by something where shlichus is effective. You can't make a shlich to do nesuin. I can't ask somebody else to do nesuin on my behalf. So there's no tanai, and therefore there's no mekach tos. That's one approach the Mefarshim take. The Asameich takes a different approach. His approach is that Nisuin is really a continuation of Erisin. The Erisin that this man had with the woman was perfectly fine. It's only the Chuppah that's problematic. And since the Chuppah is problematic, therefore, since the Erisin was fine, we can't say that the Chuppah will be a Mekach Tos because it's a continuation of an acceptable Erisin. But the Mefarshim go on to ask a simple question, a concept that we've discussed previously. The halacha is, according to the Rambam and other Rishonim, that a chuppas nida is not effective. So let's think about it. If we have a woman, everything's fine with her. It just happens to be that the night of the chasna, she's a nida. So that's already considered a problem, and according to the Rambam, the chuppah is not a chuppah. If we had to weigh in our mind which is a bigger pagam, which is a bigger defect in the chuppah, a woman who I think is a psula and really had an adulterous relationship, or a woman who happened, unfortunately, became a nida the night of a wedding, which is a bigger defect? Certainly the one that had this adulterous relationship. So if the Rambam holds that a chuppah's nida is not a chuppah, certainly then the chuppah of this woman should not be an effective chuppah. So some of Farshim want to say, Rabbi Aaron discusses this in the Mishnah's Rabbi Aaron, Chiddush, that a chuppah's nida may not be the biggest defect, but it's a defect I'm aware of. And since I'm aware of it, that disqualifies the chuppah. Here, when this man entered the chuppah with this woman, he wasn't aware that she had this defect. He only became aware of it after they had relations. And therefore, since he's not aware and could not be of the defect, b'shas the chuppah, it doesn't disqualify the chuppah. Reb Aaron himself says that this is a difficult answer. He says, if it's defective, the fact that I do or don't know shouldn't make a difference. So if Shmuel Rizovsky says a very big chiddush. He's mechadish that there's a new concept in halacha. He says, absolutely, the chuppah that was done under false pretenses is not an effective chuppah. But he's mechadish, there's another stage in halacha. And that's like we find many times in Masechta Kedushin. Masrei shluchei av l'shluchei habal. It's not quite the chuppah, it's a stage right before the chuppah. And he suggests that that's the situation of our Gemara. Indeed, this will not be considered an effective chuppah, given that it's being done under a mistake. But it's past the stage of an arusa. And that's why she's considered not the stage of an arusa, yet the chiddush atayr is that her misa remains skila, and we can't bring a raya from Mitzi Shemra to other areas of halacha. Amalei Rav Huna, Rebbei Rav Yeshua, L'Rava. So Rav is trying to say we can't bring a raya from Mitzi Shemra to a different situation. Dilma ki chadus rachmana, when did the Torah say the chiddush, heicha delay ishta negufa? When her body didn't change. She had a chuppah, but she's still the same woman. Ava heicha de ishta negufa, in a situation where she physically changed, she became a begeris, loy chadus rachmana, there perhaps she remained, there's no chiddush, and she will get the misa schenek. So we don't know how to view this. Says Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, ishtini v'lay ishtini tanayhi. If a woman's physical status changed, does that have effect on her misa as machloikas tanon? The tanan. And just one word of hagdama. We know that for many averis, if a person does the aver b'shoigig, he's mechuyiv to bring a karma chatas. But the type of animal brought depends on the individual, who he is. A regular Yisrael brings either a kispa or a se'ira as a karma chatas. A kohen gadol, even if just a kohen meshuach, brings a par, and a nasi brings a sawyer. Says the Mishnah Masechta Horius, chotat shloi nismanu. This person did an aver, he wasn't yet nasi, he wasn't yet kohen gadol, and then they were appointed to this position. V'nismanu, harein k'najoytus. Tanakam says, since they did the aver when they were not yet a nasi or kohen gadol, the carbon they have to bring, even though now when they're bringing the carbon, they already are in this new status, doesn't change. Shimon Omer, if Shimon disagrees, if they did the Aveira, and also became aware of the Aveira, before they were appointed to this new position, Chayovim, they bring the carbon as a regular Yisrael, Mishnasmanu, but if they only become aware of the Aveira after they were appointed to this new position, Pturim, they don't have to bring any carbon. So, the Gemara is trying to say that the Tanakh says that even though their status changed, still bring the old carbon will disagree with Shiloi, because they'll say that even though she became a begaris, she still mechuyev skila. And the other mandama will hold that no, her status changes just like this kohen gadol's changed. Says the Gemara, Eima de Shemina le Rav Shimon, says the Gemara, the analogy is weak. Because Eima de Shemina le Rav Shimon, dozel apos le yidiyah. Rav Shimon, and this is the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. Rav Shimon says there are two factors to take into consideration when somebody's mechuyev kar mechatas. One is obviously he did the Aveira. And the other is that he became aware of doing the Aveira. He became aware that he did the Aveira. Both of those factors are critical in determining his chiyuv karbon. So here we have a person that he was in one status of life when he did the Aveira. He was in another status of life when he became aware of the Aveira. So I don't know what to follow, because both factors are critical. On the other hand, Eim l'shmin r'shimin da'ozul af bas yediyah, since we don't know which factor to follow, do we follow the factor of when he did the Aveira? Or do we follow the factor when he became the aware of Aveira? We don't know. So we leave Sheva Tai, so we don't do anything. On the other hand, this woman, but we only, according to Shiloi, want to follow when we become aware of the Aveira. That then the Torah is after Begeris. Rav Shimon didn't say that. So to say that Shiloi agrees with Rav Shimon is incorrect. Again, the words of the Gemara inside. Aim of the Shamin of Shimon. What did Shimon say? That we have to take the time we came aware of the Aveira also into consideration. But to only follow the time when they did the Aveira, and not to follow the time when the Aveira was done. Rav Shimon doesn't say that. Mishamitlei. Because in Cain, if Rav Shimon were to hold that we only follow the time when they became aware of the Aveira, Laisi karmik of the hashta, meshuach par, then he would suggest that a kohen meshuach should have to bring a par, because when he became aware of the aveir, he was already kohen gadol, and a nasi would have to bring a soil. But that's not true. So that's why we can't say that Shiloi and Rav Shimon are the same opinion. There's an interesting Yerushalmi. Not everybody's agreeable with this Yerushalmi. They take a different opinion in explaining Rav Shimon. Why does Rav Shimon hold that the kohen gadol was appointed? He's potter from bringing the, or the nasi was appointed, are potter from bringing the carbon, because the halachi, the klal is, the kol ha'oyle l'gdula, whoever is appointed to a position of authority, maichon le'kol ha'vanaisav, all of his averas are forgiven. So yes, this person did an avera as a hedjite, but now he became kohen gadol, now he became nasi, so all of his averas were forgiven, so that avera is ready on the old cheshbon, and he doesn't have to bring a carbon. Hama le Rabbi Yochanan Tana Tani Didon Beskila, says the Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan says that we should change the nusach of the mis of the brisa and say that indeed if the woman did an avera as a nara hamarasa, even though the din Torah is only commencing after she's a begaris, the chiyuv Beskila, and we amend what Shila said. Ask the Gemara v'mai nara hamarasa merachmana. The Torah who says, who is Chayiv Skila? A girl who's a Nara Marasa. This girl's no longer Nara for Begerisi. So why are we indeed amending what the Brisa says? Amar Ila Amar Kra. The Torah doesn't just call a Nara Marasa. The Torah says, Hanara. Hanara Shaisa Kvar. The girl was a Nara when she did the Aveira. Even though now when we're doing the Dim Torah, she's a Begeris, it makes no difference. We follow when the Aveira was done, and she's Chayiv Skila. So to summarize for a moment where we're up to, we started the shiur with Shiloi's Brisa that says if a girl did the Aveira as a Nara Marasa, but the Din Torah did not commence until she's a Begeris, she's only Chayiv Chenek, Rabbi Yochanan is amending the Brisa and saying that she indeed will be Chayiv Skil. As the Maram Shif, as the Chassam Sofer, so now we also have another problem with the Brisa. Shiloi started the Brisa. First words we learned today, Gimel Midos. There's three statuses. One is Skila Beis Avia, one is Skila Beshari Ir, and one was Chenik. It's not anymore Chenik. Now we're saying it's Skila. So what's the Gimel Midos? It's only two Midos. There's only two everybody's Chayiv Skila. So the Minaram Shif says that included in what Rabbi Yochanan means when he says we have to amend the Brisa is that it's not anymore Shalosh Midos. It's only Shtei Midos. The Chassam Sofer says we could still keep the gears of Shalosh Midos. He says, because although all three situations that Shiloh speaks to are all Chayiv Skila, the Skila is given in a different place for every situation. The Skila where she did, where she was caught the Beis Chameo, is given al Pesach Beis Aviyah. The Skila that was given if she was caught the Beis Aviyah is given al Shar Ha'ir. And the Skila if she became a Begeris is given al Shar Bezdin. So since the Skila in every situation is given in a different place, the words Gimel Midos are still appropriate. But there was skila in different places. One was, the Brisa said, one was Beis Aviyah and one was a Shariir. So Chassam Sofer continues in that line. Ask the Gemara, if we're learning now, that even though the girl became a Bogeris, still the halacha is, she's treated as a Nara Marasa, because the Torah teaches us the words Hanara. So then we have a question with a Brisa that we quoted on an Aleph. The Brisa quoted on an Aleph, that if someone is Motzi Shemra on his wife after she became a Begeris, he's not Mechuyiv Malkus, he's not Mechuyiv Demei Kesef. Why? Isn't there a Pasuk of Hanara? That as long as she did the Aveir when she was a Nara Marasa, these Dinim ought to apply. Amalei of Chananya Lerav Ila. Ilhachi, if we're going to say that as long as the Aveir was done when she was a Nara Marasa, she's Mechuyiv Skila, so the Milk and Nami Lerlaki. So all the halachas of Motzi Shemra ought to apply. God should save us from what you're saying. So he said to him, Adarabba, Rachmanan Tzlam Bidata Didach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us from what you're saying. So Rashi is obviously bothered. What's going on here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save me from you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save me from you. So Rashi says a very short word. He says, of course when somebody gives a ruling, he has the obligation to explain what he said. But that obligation only exists if the person who I'm going to give the explanation to is capable and will understand what I say. So he said to him, I'm not going to explain to you what I'm saying because I don't believe you could understand what I mean. And he says, how dare you say that? Of course I could understand. So what is the explanation? But tamamai, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ava v'tam Rav Yitzchak bar Ava, zu maseh gamala. Why is she chayiv skila? Because she did an act of znus. V'zu akim esvas of garmalai. Why is he considered a Motzi Shemra? Because he said something that's not true. Zu maseh garmalai kishenzanoi nara. Kishenzanoi nara zanoi. When did she do this maseh znus? When she was a nara. And the halacha is that a nara marasa, that's mezana, is mechuyiv skila. V'zu, why is he considered a Motzi Shemra? Because as Kima Svasov Gormaloi. Because he said what he wasn't supposed to say. When did he say that? Amos Kamachayev. Hahishata. When he said it when she was a Begeris. Vahishata Begeris Havi, and the Parsha Motzi Shemra doesn't apply to Begeris. We follow the time when the sin was committed. Before we go into the next Gemara, from here we see the Paiskim point out that even though a person now is in a different status of life, they're still responsible for averus that they did previously. The Mishnah Berurah, the Sefer Chassidim, all discussed the following shaila. What would be the halacha if somebody who was a child did something wrong? You know, he stole something as a child from whatever, and then he becomes a gadol and he starts thinking about it, what he did. Is he responsible to pay back what he stole as a katan? And the Sefer Chassidim and the Mishnah Berurah both say that midas chassidus, the right thing is that we're always responsible for what we did in all of our stages of life, and therefore, even though when he did the aveira, he was a katan, the right thing to do is that you should try to repay the person who you stole from. It's also interesting to note that the Paiskim discuss what will be the halacha if a goyim have also designed mitzvah b'nei noyach. So let's say a guy who did one of the averus of the Zayim Mitzvah Noyach becomes a ger. And we know the concept is gershon is guy kikotin shenayla dummy. So he's an entirely new person. Is he still responsible to do tshuva or try to make better on the averus he did as a guy? And again, the Sefer Chassidim is very clear in saying that even though gershon is guy kikotin shenayla dummy, we shouldn't take it that that's a completely clean slate. A person is responsible for what he did. He can't say, I'm a new man, I'm no longer responsible. Tonu Rabbanan. Nara Marasa Shezinsa, cycle and shayim pesach beis aviyah. And now marasa that did this aveira, the skila is administered by the entrance of a parent's house. Anyway, beis av. Let's say her parents don't have a house. We discussed this in the Mishnah yesterday. Cycle and pesach shari year. So the skila is administered at the entrance of the city. However, obviously a city which is mostly non-Jewish, it's going to be difficult to do this. Their halach is cycle and pesach bezdin. The skila is administered at the entrance of bezdin. We find the same halacha that over kechavim cycle and say al shar shavid ba. Somebody who worshipped avod zara is stoned at the entrance of the city where he committed the avera. Again, but if it's a city that's mostly non-Jewish, it's going to be difficult to do this. Cycle and say pesach bezdin. The skila is administered on the door at the entrance of bezdin. Continues the Gemara. Menani mili. How do we know that this is the halacha? The Torah Boran, Sharecha, Zashash Avibah. The Pasuk says that the person who worshipped Avodah Zarah should be taken al Sharecha to teach us that's the Shar with of the city where Avodah Zarah was done, and that's where he should be killed. At the Oyma Sharsha of the boy, does it mean the entrance of the city or El Al Sharsha need them boy? Perhaps it means the entrance of the Bezdin. And again, the Rishonim say it's not actually done at the entrance of the Bezdin, because Bezdin doesn't want that the building where the Bezdin has its meeting place should be considered this is the place where people kill people. So it's done a little further away from Bezdin. Nemesharech lamata. It says the pasuk v'tseisa eseish asharecha, and then the pasuk says regarding the person who worshipped Avodah Zarah. So the pasuk uses the word b'sharecha in both cases. In the second pasuk that we just quoted, it's referring to where the Avodah Zarah was actually worshipped. So we see, just like ma'sharecha omel amala sharsh avod ba, it's referring to the city, the gate of the city where the Avodah Zarah was worshipped. Avsharecha omel amata means the sharsh avod ba, that's where l'chatchila the Avodah Zarah, the person who worshipped Avodah Zarah should be killed. Davaracha Sharecha V'loi Sharav the Kechavim. To teach us that the Sharecha should be the Shar of the Bezdin, but not the Shar of the city where the Avodah Zarah was worshipped. Ask the Gemara, Hai Sharecha Afikta. How can we use the word Sharecha to teach us two dinim? Both that it should be done in the Shar of the city that with Avodah Zarah was worshipped, and also to teach us that it should be done, that it should be killed at the Shar of the Bezdin. Says the Gemara, we can't learn two halachas from one pasuk. Answers the Gemara, im kein lema kra shar. If the Tarsuk was only coming to teach us one halacha, the Torah could have used the word shar, my sharecha, the extra yud chaf, to teach us two dinim. One din is the lechatchila, the misa should be administered at the gate of the city where Avodah Zarah was worshipped. But if that's not doable, it should be administered at the entrance of the Bezdin. Shmamino tarti. Ask the Gemara, ask Chavetz Chavim. So now we've been able to prove that somebody who worshipped Avodah Zarah, where he should be killed. Naram Maros Manola. We said at the beginning of this Braisa that the same thing applies by Naram Marosa. L'chatchila, we kill her at the gate of a parent's home. If that's not doable, we kill her at the gate of Bezdin. How do we know that? Omer Bavua, Gomer Pesach mi Pesach, or Pesach mi Shar, Mishar Misharecha. As Rashi explains, first of all, Rashi says that this is not a real full-fledged Gzeirah Shava. This is only an Asmachta. And the way to understand it is as follows. The Pasuk says, as we quoted the Pasuk, V'tzeisa a Pesach Beis Aviyah. We take it to the entrance of a parent's home. The Pasuk by the Mishkan says the following. Mosach Pesach Shar HaChotzer. So there the Torah juxtaposes the word Pesach with the word Shar. So there we see that Pesach and Shar travel together. So if the Torah uses the word Pesach by a narrow marasa, because we take the lesson of the Mishkan, we say it's as if the Torah uses the word Shar by narrow marasa. And if we just finished explaining that by Avodah Zarah, it means the gate of the city where it was done, we'll say, and if that's not doable, then we take it to the gate, to the entrance of Bezdin. We say the same din applies, but in Naram Marasa. Tanar Abad. Hamaychi Shemra Loika. If somebody is a Meitzer Shemer, he gets Malkus, V'noisim Meir Sela. And he also has to pay Meir Sela, as we've said earlier. If you die Lilkus like Mikar Makai. Malkus he gets under all circumstances. Meir Sela, however the Meir Sela, depends. Baal, if he had relations, and after he had relations with this woman, he comes and says that she wasn't a Basula, and then it turns out that he was a Meitzer Shemer, that he was a liar, Noisin, then he gets to pay. Loi Baal, if he didn't have Bia, ain't a Noisin, then he doesn't have to pay the Knas. So before we go further in the Gemara, this Gemara is based, as the Gemara will say in a moment, on a Machlaikis that we're going to learn in Meitzer Shem in tomorrow's Shir. It's a Machlaikis of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanim. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that the Torah that describes the parasha of Meitzer Shemra speaks about a lot of details. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that in order that it should be considered a situation in Meitzer Shemra, all of the details that the Torah tells us have to be fulfilled. Otherwise, that's not considered a case of Meitzer Shemra. The Rabbanim hold that it doesn't have to be every detail has to be fulfilled to be considered a situation of Meitzer Shemra. So Gemara says, Kamiflgi, the Gemara wants to explain the Machlokes of the Rabbanan of Yehuda as the same as the Machlokes of Elazar ben Yaakov Rabbanan. V'achkam, this is the way to understand it. Ha-Meitzer Shemra loika v'noisa me'yasela. If somebody's Meitzer Shemra on his wife, that she wasn't a Basula, he gets Malkus, and he's Mechuyf to pay the me'yasela, bein bol, bein shloi bol. It makes no difference if he had to be or not. Even though the Torah speaks about a case where he was Meitzer Shemer after he was Boil, the Rabbanon hold that we don't have to have every detail. Not every detail is essential. And that's what the Rabbanon hold. Even if he didn't do Bia, he's still considered a Meitzer Shemra, and he has to pay the Meir Sela, and he gets Malkus. Rabbi Yehuda Aima, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Lilkai Slilkai Meikar Mokan. Malkus he gets under all circumstances. Meir Sela, however the Meir Sela, Baal Noisin, if he actually did Bia, he would have to pay the Meir Sela. Loi Baal in a Noisin. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So Rashi explains this the following way. Rav Yehuda agrees with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Then in order that it should be considered a situation of Meitzer Shemra, all of the details that the Torah speak about have to be fulfilled. And therefore, if he wasn't Boil, we don't have a situation of Meitzer Shemra, and he's not Mechuyv the Meir Sela. So why does he get Malkus? Not because of Meitzer Shemra. He gets the Malkus for a different reason. There's a lav in the Torah, like Seilach Rachel. You're not allowed to say Lashon Hara, especially when it's not true about someone else. So the Malkus he gets for that reason. Nothing to do with Meitzer Shemra. And obviously Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, according to this explanation, that on a lav shame by Maisa, even though he's only speaking, it's a lav shame by Maisa, you still get Malkus. Ikadamri, Kulak Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Everybody agrees with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that it's not considered a situation of Meitzer Shemra unless he did exactly as the Torah prescribes. V'achkama. Ha-Meitzer Shemra loika, v'noisim me'yisela, v'hu shabal. The Tanakhama says, unless there was Bia, he's not considered Meitzer Shemra. And therefore, if there was no Bia, he would not get Malkus, he would not be chayv me'yisela. Yehudaima, lokas loika mekamokim. He'll get Malkus under all circumstances. Ask the Gemara, why? So obviously we would explain, because obviously Rabbi Yehuda holds, he's getting Malkus because lo yisaylech rachel. Even though it's a lav shabbat and by maisa, ask the Gemara, the sabra of Yehuda, lokas loika mekamalkam, that a person gets malchus for the lav of loiselich rachel. But tanya Rabbi Yehuda oima baal loika loi baal ena loika. Rabbi Yehuda says that only if he was baal he gets malchus. If he wasn't baal, he doesn't get malchus. But if Rabbi Yehuda holds that one gets malchus for the lav of loiselich rachel, what's the difference if he was baal or not? Answers the Gemara, you're right. Midarais Rabbi Yehuda will agree with Rabbanan. He's not considered a Meitzer Shemra unless he was Boil. And he would not get Malkus unless he was Boil. So why does he get Malkus here? For a different reason. It's not Malkus the Raisa. Omer of Nachman, Yitzhak loika Malkus Malkus Midrabbanan. It's only Midrabbanan that he's getting Malkus because he was said Lashon Hara. And there's a Machloikus Rishonim, Malkus Malkus we have many times in Shas, that it's a Drabbanan Malkus Malkus. There's a Machloikus Rishonim exactly what is Malkus Malkus. Some Rishonim say, Malkus Malkus, we give Acha Taitz and Nafshai. We give it to him until he's Chas V'Shalom dead. Other Rishonim say, no, Malkus Malkus is only 13. Others say it's like Malkus Malkus, like this regular Malkus. We know regular Malkus is 39 Malkus. Malkus Malkus is also 39. Sritva says, another say, the Bezdin decide in every situation what is the right amount that he should get. Dritva has a very interesting approach. He says, sometimes makas maradis are administered because the person did an avera. And sometimes makas maradis are administered because the person is doing an avera and we want to stop him. When makas maradis is being given as a punishment for an avera that was done, so there, it's either 13, 39, every bezdin may decide what to do. But if the person is in the middle of doing an avera and we want to stop him, and he's not stopping, then we give it to Machatetz and Nafshay until he stops. Rapapa disagrees. Rapapa holds that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he always gets Malkus. Only if he was Boil. My Boil Loika, the Tani Hossam, what does it mean when the Brisa says that if he was Boil, he gets Malkus, and if he wasn't Boil, he doesn't get Malkus? It means Mumin. It's called that he has to pay the Knas. So again, let's understand what Rapapa is saying. Rapapa is saying a very interesting explanation of Yehuda. It's really similar to the original explanation. Malkus he'll get for Lashon Hara. Either Brisa says that he doesn't get Malkus. Where Brisa says he doesn't get Malkus means money. Ask the Gemara, the Karlei Mum and Malkus, is getting Malkus called, is getting, paying money, paying a knas called Malkus? Says the Gemara, in. We have a precedent in Shas for such a thing. We know that the Torah says that everybody has an Erech. Based on their age, on their gender, they have a certain erech. So the Mishnah says, "Masecht erechin." Somebody says, "I'm going to give half of my erech." So the halacha is, "Masechatzi erechay." Let's say his erech, as the Torah prescribes, is 10 slam. He has to give 5. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Ima loika for nice and erech shalim. Says the Gemara, "Loika, where does Malkus come into erechin?" Omra Papa, loika be erech shalim. That even though he says he's going to give half of his erech, he has to give his whole erech. My tama. The loch is, the let's say says, somebody says, I'm giving the erech of my heart. So Gemara says, Masech the erechin. Since it's an avish and a shamat liba, you can't live without a heart. So therefore you have to give your whole erech. So Rabbi Yosef says, Chazal were concerned that if somebody says chatzi erechoy, he will get confused with a situation of erech chatzioy. By erech chatzioy, you have to pay your whole erech. That's why Chazal said, by chatzi erechoy, have an avish of the shamat liboy, you have to pay your whole erech. But here what we see, what's relevant to our sug is loika. But loika doesn't mean malchus. Loika means paying. Just before we finish the shir, there's a very interesting vart. Our Gemara is showing us, our whole sugis are teaching us the severity of Lashon Hara. That's what Maitzi Shemra is all about. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're learning a chiddush that even though normally a lav shem b'maisa we don't get malchus, l'selach rochli we get malchus, malchus mardus, or perhaps even malchus deraisa. So I saw the paiskim discuss how far to take this concept of lashon hara. Firstly, from our Gemara we see that lashon hara even applies. That's the whole din of Maitzi Shemra. The girl's a 12-year-old girl. Once she's 12 and a half, she's not in the parish of Maitzi Shemra. How careful we have to be about lashon hara, even about young children. But it goes even further. I saw that the Shailos Teshuvos, Oz Nidbru, discuss what's going to be the halacha if I say Lashon Hara, not on a person, but on an object. I say Lashon Hara on a table. Say Lashon Hara on a car. Is that considered Lashon Hara or not? So certainly, all Paiskim agree that if I say Lashon Hara about an item which could cause a loss to someone by me saying it, let's say I say a certain make of car is a lemon. So by saying that, the person who sells those cars is going to have damage. Nobody's going to want to buy such a car. It's certainly considered Lashon Hara, according to all Rishonim. The Shaila is, let's say I say something Lashon Hara about something, but it really wouldn't make a difference. Nobody's going to have any damage. And it's not about a person. Is it still considered Lashon Hara or not? So the Shaila Teshuvos Oz Nidbru says that at the Emes, it's Machloikas, the Rambam, and the Yerayim. And he says that the Urayim holds that it's even considered Lashon Hara when I speak about an object and my speaking doesn't cause any loss, financial loss. And he says, why is it Lashon Hara? He's saying that everything in the world that we have was created by God. That's part of being a believing Jew. If I say that there's something that's not good or something is not done right, I'm saying Lashon Hara on Hashem. I'm saying that God isn't perfect and he made a mistake, so to speak. And therefore, I'm not just saying Lashon Hara on the table. I'm saying Lashon Hara on Hashem. Not allowed to say Lashon Hara on Hashem. And therefore, he holds that saying Lashon Hara on anything is considered Lashon Hara.